FM is a platform that champions diversity. Not all our programs reflect the views of the station.
Welcome to Caught It All with Karen. Today on the agenda, we've got part two of tea making. You'll be hearing some word, Jeremiah 38, and of course some music. I definitely know that there's going to be some Pixies still working on... Oh, and Hide Am I, still working on the third song, TBC. Cool. Let's crack into it. Welcome back to Caught It All with Karen. So now we're going to talk about some different tea types. The colour of a tea describes the appearance of the dry tea and also to some degree the colour that results after brewing. So let's start with black tea. The black tea, the official black tea, consists of a blend of orange pekoe and pekoe cat tea. And black tea undergoes all five processes and is fully oxidised. So I always thought black tea was just tea without milk. So there you go. You learn something every day. Green tea. Green tea is withered, rolled and immediately dried. It is not oxidised. Green tea is often rolled more tightly than black and blue tea. sometimes so tightly that the leaves form tiny balls that unfurl when brewed. How green tea is dried depends on where it is processed. In China, it is usually roasted or pan-fired over a flame or tumble-dried by blown heat. But in India and warm, dry parts of China, green tea is dried naturally in the sun. In Japan, green tea is dried by sweating the leaves in a steam tank. They are then hand-rolled. The sweating and rolling procedure is repeated several times until the desired dryness is achieved. The drying method determines the flavour of the green tea. When it is roasted or pan-fired, it has a taste of citrus and smoke. When it is steamed, the taste is more herbaceous. Matcha tea is also produced in Japan and is a powdered green tea. Matcha is gaining popularity throughout the world as a beverage and as an ingredient in prepared foods such as baked goods and ice cream. To produce matcha, the tea is sweated and then chopped into tiny pieces. It then undergoes one last drying cycle and is finally ground into a powder by a millstone. Yellow tea. Yellow tea dates back to 16th century China, and since very little yellow tea has ever been exported, the Chinese remain its primary consumers. Yellow tea is generally only produced using the buds or tips of the tea plant, and it is hand-picked. Like green tea, yellow tea does not go through controlled oxidation. However, some natural oxidation does take place, whereby the polyphenols in the leaves cause them to change colour from green to yellow. The tea is dried slowly without the use of a heat source and goes directly from picking to drying. Yellow tea has a sweeter, less grassy taste than green tea. White tea. White tea is similar to yellow tea in its processing and its source. It is either air or flame dried without being allowed to wither. Unlike yellow tea, its leaves are not stacked during drying, and this shortens the drying period. White tea takes on a silvery white colour that comes from the down remaining on the young leaves as they dry and is very pale in hue when brewed. Flowering tea. Flowering teas are a real decadence in the teetotaling world. They are bundles of tea leaves hand sewn together to form a bud, flower, or other shape. Flower buds and other flavourings may be incorporated into the arrangement. They are usually made from high quality green or black tea. Tea flowers are fairly expensive because of the hard labour involved in their fabrication. The flower is brewed in a clear glass teapot or similar container. When it comes into contact with the water, the tea flower unfolds like a time-lapse photo of a real flower. Flowering tea is not only tasty, but also a great conversation piece. Bubble tea. Bubble tea, also called boba, is a tea drink made with sweetened tapioca pearls and optional flavourings. Bubble tea is said to have originated in Taiwan in the 1980s, and today bubble tea cafes are found throughout the world, particularly in areas with large Asian populations. The original Taiwanese version of bubble tea was made with hot black tea, large pearl tapioca, condensed milk and honey. As it became part of popular culture, creative versions of the drink have evolved. Bubble tea is prepared iced or hot with fruit flavorings or juices and with or without milk. Hot or cold, it is drunk through a straw. The tapioca pearls are slurped up while the tea is sipped. Rooibos tea. Rooibos is a caffeine-free herbal beverage produced from the needle-shaped leaves and stems of the rooibos bush, which is native to South Africa. Rooibos means red bush in Afrikaans. Rooibos is flavorful and naturally sweet. It also earns points for being low in caffeine and high in antioxidants. Yerba mate. Yerba mate is an infusion made from the dried leaves of the Ilex paraguarianus tree, the evergreen South American holly tree. It is the national drink of Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay. Yerba mate has been drunk by the indigenous people of South America since as early as the 15th century. Yerba mate is a smoky-flavoured beverage sought after for its stimulating effect, although scientists are uncertain about the amount of caffeine it contains. Herbal infusions. Just about any edible plant can be made into a herbal tea. Chamomile, mint, lavender, lemon myrtle, dried fruits and berries, ginseng, hibiscus, rosehips and lemongrass are just some of the plants that are brewed as infusions. Most commercial herbal teas are processed in a manner similar to green tea. Homemade herbal infusions can be made with fresh or dried herbs. To maximise the quality of a dried herb, use an oven, microwave, dehydrator or air fryer. Set the oven to the lowest temperature possible. This is usually around 80 degrees Celsius. Spread your fresh herbs in a single layer onto baking sheets and place into the middle of the oven. Let bake for about 30 minutes with the oven door propped open to let moisture out. Well, guys, that brings us to the end of our tea session. Hope you gained some more insight into the world of teas. I most certainly did. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll check in with you same time, same place next month. Ka kite anō. God bless.
Chapter 38, From the Dungeon to the Palace. Shephatiah, son of Matan, Gedaliah, son of Pashur, Jehugal, son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, son of Malchijah, heard what Jeremiah was telling the people, namely, "This is God's message. Whoever stays in this town will die, will be killed or starved to death or get sick and die. But those who go over to the Babylonians will save their necks and live." And God's sure word, "This city is destined to fall to the army of the king of Babylon. He's going to take it over." These officials told the king, "Please kill this man. He's got to go. He's ruining the resolve of the soldiers who are still left in the city, as well as the people themselves, by spreading these words. This man isn't looking after the good of this people. He's trying to ruin us." King Zedekiah caved in. "If you say so, go ahead. Handle it your way. You're too much for me." So they took Jeremiah and threw him into the cistern of Malchijah, the king's son, that was in the courtyard of the palace guard. They lowered him down with ropes. There wasn't any water in the cistern, only mud. Jeremiah sank into the mud. Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, a court official assigned to the royal palace, heard that they had thrown Jeremiah into the cistern. While the king was holding court in the Benjamin Gate, Ebed-Melech went immediately from the palace to the king and said, "My master, O king, these men are committing a great crime in what they're doing, throwing Jeremiah the prophet into the cistern and leaving him there to starve. He's as good as dead. There isn't a scrap of bread left in the city." So the king ordered Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, "Get three men and pull Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies." Ebed-Melech got three men and went to the palace wardrobe and got some scraps of old clothing, which they tied together and lowered down with ropes to Jeremiah in the cistern. Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, called down to Jeremiah, "Put these scraps of old clothing under your armpits and around the ropes." Jeremiah did what he said. And so they pulled Jeremiah up out of the cistern by the ropes. But he was still confined in the courtyard of the palace guard. Later, King Zedekiah sent for Jeremiah the prophet and had him brought to the third entrance of the temple of God. The king said to Jeremiah, "I'm going to ask you something. Don't hold anything back from me." Jeremiah said, "If I told you the whole truth, you'd kill me. And no matter what I said, you wouldn't pay any attention anyway." Zedekiah swore to Jeremiah right there, but in secret, "As sure as God lives, who gives us life, I won't kill you, nor will I turn you over to the men who are trying to kill you." So Jeremiah told Zedekiah, "This is the message from God, God of the angel armies, the God of Israel. If you will turn yourself over to the generals of the king of Babylon, you will live. This city won't be burned down, and your family will live. But if you don't turn yourself over to the generals of the king of Babylon, this city will go into the hands of the Chaldeans, and they'll burn it down. And don't for a minute think there's any escape for you." King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "But I'm afraid of the Judeans, who have already deserted to the Chaldeans. If they get hold of me, they'll rough me up good." Jeremiah assured him, "They won't get hold of you. Listen, please, listen to God's voice. I'm telling you this for your own good, so that you'll live. But if you refuse to turn yourself over, this is what God has shown me will happen. Picture this in your mind. All the women still left in the palace of the king of Judah led out to the officers of the king of Babylon. And as they're led out, they are saying, 'They lied to you and did you in, those so-called friends of yours. And now you're stuck, about knee-deep in mud. And your friends, where are they now? They'll take all your wives and children and give them to the Chaldeans. And you, don't think you'll get out of this. The king of Babylon will seize you and then burn this city to the ground.'" Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "Don't let anyone know of this conversation if you know what's good for you. If the government officials get wind that I've been talking with you, they may come and say, 'Tell us what went on between you and the king, what you said and what he said. Hold nothing back and we won't kill you.' If this happens, tell them, 'I presented my case to the king so that he wouldn't send me back to the dungeon of Jonathan to die there.'" And sure enough, all the officials came to Jeremiah and asked him. He responded as the king had instructed. So they quit asking. No one had overheard the conversation. Jeremiah lived in the courtyard of the palace guards until the day that Jerusalem was captured.
Have been as pleasant to us as the sight of the white plumes of the citizens of the planet. The dramatic shapes of the dragon's back, the soil-colored waters of the Liqua, Iqili, Lotuget, and the sands of the Kalahat have all been panels of the set on the natural stage on which we act out foolish deeds of the theater of the day. At times, and in fear, I have wondered whether I should concede equal citizenship of our country to the leopard and the lion, the elephant and the springbok, the hyena, the black mamba, and the pestilential mosquito. A human presence among all of these, a future. picture on the face of our native land just defined. I know that none dare challenge me when I say I am an African.
Listening to Kōrero with Karen. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to tune in to Planet FM at 104.6 every fourth Wednesday at 10 past 2 in the afternoon. Or check it out anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/Kōrero with Karen. That's Karen with a Y. Ka kite anō e hoa.